You're listening to Kevin McCullough Radio, coming to you live from the Connors and Sullivan Broadcast Studio.
You're listening to Kevin McCullough Radio, breaking news as it happens, what it means, and why it matters.
Kevin McCullough, and here we go.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Obliterating confusion.
Amplifying truth.
And pursuing clarity.
Kevin McCullough, now.
All right, just how much bad news versus good news should there be on the week that is supposed to be the spike? The apex, the peak of the coronavirus. Continued exclusive coverage on Kevin McCullough Radio, but maybe with a slant you are not expecting. Stay with us.
Kevin McCullough.
Something interesting is happening with this.
Kevin McCullough, let me start with you.
I found this thing at townhall.com by Kevin McCullough.
The big dog has come out of nowhere.
Kevin McCullough.
I just want to help people think.
Nationally syndicated radio host and author of No, He Can't.
Yeah, he is playing the role.
As well as anybody could.
Kevin McCullough is a nationally syndicated radio host and author of No, He Can't.
The odds are he's right.
It's Kevin McCullough Radio.
The ICU admissions are down and the daily intubations are down. Those are all good signs. And again, would suggest a possible flattening of the curve.
Say what? What did Andrew Cuomo say? A possible flattening of the curve? In his press conference today, he actually said that for 2 days in a row, the rates have been flat. Welcome into a Monday, Kevin McCullough. I don't know how your weekend went. For me, the weekend is becoming very, very difficult because I don't have the same outlet that I do during the week. I think some of my own therapy for what we are dealing with coronavirus is the opportunity to bring you the news that I can find that has a degree of hope to it. And that's why I've tentatively titled my column in the short term, of which I'll be contributing a lot more to in the next couple of days, Dispatches of Hope. Friends, the news has been repetitively bad for so long. And let me give you insight here. So in our household, when this started 3 weeks ago, we had enough toilet paper and paper towels in the house. And we kind of found ourselves sitting around the dinner table going, why are people hoarding toilet paper and paper towels? And then we tried to buy some over the last 3 weeks. Anytime we were out, anytime we made the essential run. And have had a hard time finding what is necessary to keep even a minimal reserve stash stocked. And it's not that that in and of itself is a huge, dashing of hopes or anything. It's that on top of the drip, drip, drip of this is never going to be any different. And if you stay on social media at all during this time, you're getting wild extremes on both end of this that I think are unhelpful. You get people that are like, oh, it's nothing at all, and we should just be out, you know, gallivanting around. I don't believe that. I do believe there's a serious threat to what we are dealing with. I realize there were more people put into the hospital on Saturday for coronavirus than have ever had a single one-day flu hospitalization rate in the history of New York. I can see the numbers. I can compare those. But I'm bothered by some scenarios. I'm bothered by the fact that while our businesses have suffered and government programs have been less than satisfying from unemployment to whatever, I've been bothered by the fact that cable news just delights in presenting the darkest and most doom-filled headlines possible. And I think on some level, there may be political motivation to do that. I think on just the other level, that's just the game that they're in right now. If we can't make you feel more panicked than you felt yesterday, then we're not doing our job. I think that's how some network television directors are thinking these days. The cynical sides in all of us believe much of this because we don't trust our elected leaders. And to be candid, they haven't disappointed. Nancy Pelosi riding in on her horse from California to add 1,400 pages of total bogus spending to the stimulus package. Andrew Cuomo blaming President Trump for New York State not being prepared. The criticism of the president is ad nauseum, lengthy, through every media channel that you can find, even though the American people largely don't see him that way. But we've been let down by our elected leaders. In addition to this, there are things that make our brains go weird. Frontline physicians are using therapies, they're having successes, and they publish their results, and they do interviews, and they publish their findings, and then they are talked down to and chided by a physician, Mr. Fauci, who hasn't been in active practice in years, and the whole academic class that kind of props him up, who would prefer to theorize about why something might not work as opposed to seeing if it actually is. We're in a war, people. We're trying to win. If people are in serious shape, give them the medicine. We see the numbers of infections and deaths on our screens every day go up. Have you noticed this? CNN, MSNBC, even Fox, they've got the box inset. Here's the number of global infections. Here's the number of deaths. You know, the same John Hopkins dashboard that produces those numbers that they're all attached into and is just automatically through an algorithm updating itself on a regular basis. Did you know they make a third category of numbers that are not on any of those screens? Do you know there's a stat that is on the Johns Hopkins dashboard that is connected to the Drudge Report and CNN.com and the AP and everybody else, and they're not putting that number on the screen? Do you know what that number is? The number of people recovering. Why don't they do that? Is it too good to say that there might be some good news out there? Well, forget that. At this microphone, at my column, on my Twitter feed, we are going to be a nonstop channel of the news that is bringing hope to the situation, because I can find the other stuff any day of the week. So let me tell you some good things that happened this weekend. Saturday was a bad day. New York recorded 630 deaths. New Jersey recorded 200. They're the two most populous states. Two biggest hotspots right now for COVID-19. But did you know that for Sunday, in both of those states, they marked noted decreases for the first time in deaths since the outbreak? New York had 36 less deaths on Sunday. New Jersey went from 200 to 72, more than a 50% drop in deaths. Globally, deaths are on a downward trend in places like Spain, where they have recorded 4 days in a row of diminishing death numbers. I don't hear this being reported anywhere. I don't see anybody doing a 60 minutes piece on it. Let's talk about infections. In Austria and very hard hit Italy and Spain, they saw numbers go down over the last day. And in all three of those, they have been dwindling for a little while. Again, where is this, and why are they going down? Did you know that they authorized aggressive treatment of hydroxychloroquine and azithromycin about the same time we started the clinical trials in New York, and now they are seeing mass reductions in new infections being reported? So downward trends in deaths, downward trends in new infections. What about hospitalizations? Mr. Cuomo, most of his press conference is spent talking about the resources that he doesn't have. But in New York, for the first time since the outbreak yesterday, the number of new hospitalizations not only dropped, it dropped dramatically by nearly 50%. They had 1,000-plus new hospitalizations on Saturday. They had a little over 500 on Sunday. And by the way, this leads me to my next thing. The projections are not keeping up. The University of Washington's IHME website is the place where all the smart people, you know, Dr. Fauci and all of his class, that keep referring to why this is going to be as bad as it's going to be. Did you know that for the last 3 days, they're effectively running thousands of people behind both the worst and average and best case scenarios? They've been tracking the number of beds needed. New York's coming way behind on that. There's a lot of things that are just not being noted. There's almost no attention being given to the fact that multiple doctors are now coming forward, frontline physicians talking about how effective the therapeutic treatment of hydroxychloroquine and azithromycin is. And by the way, Most of the doctors in the U.S. only got to start using it a week ago today because that's when the FDA approved it on a broad scale for everyone to use under the emergency use authorization. We're 7 days from that. We're already starting to see some results. Even weird governors that were threatening fines for using it have actually begged the federal government to send them more. And here's the other thing, friends. We're at 9,000 plus deaths today. Here's that number that nobody's publishing. Same day, 17,582 recoveries. You want to find the hope-filled news? Keep coming back to Kevin McCullough Radio. We're going to give it to you. Kevin McCullough, stay with us. It's the number one question I get. Kev, we hear what's going on with the virus. What do we do to protect ourselves? Friends, I try to make the show about helping you be protected on a variety of fronts, whether it's physical or mental or spiritual, financial or health-wise. And that's why my answer to everyone who says, what's the best thing I can do to boost my immune system to prevent myself from maybe ever getting the coronavirus? Well, you boost that immune system by giving your body what it needs. What my body needs is balance of nature, a daily dose of 10 servings of 31 different fruits and vegetables that do everything within their power to keep me healthy, whole, and disease fighting. Friends, you've got to try this for yourself. You owe it to yourself. You want to be well defended against the things we're up against right now. 800-246-8751. Get 35% off and free shipping when you call today. 800-246-8751. 800-246-8751. Or going to balanceofnature.com. And use the promo code THEMISSION.
This is Dennis Prager and my friends. They're at it again. The left is doing its best to silence ideas it doesn't like. Hollywood does not want you to see my film, No Safe Spaces, which is why you won't see it on Netflix or Amazon Prime. But now you can watch No Safe Spaces for a limited time at nosafespaces.com. It's time to fight back and protect freedom in America. See No Safe Spaces. It is a great film starring me and Adam Carolla. Go to nosafespaces.com.
Dr. J. Vernon McGee once said, "Beneath the mysteries of God are the purposes of God." I'm Steve Schwetz, host of Through the Bible, inviting you on the Bible Bus as we travel through 1 Peter. This certainly is an unusual season, isn't it? And by God's design, we're right on schedule in our journey through the whole Word of God, studying a book that points us to Jesus even in suffering. So come join us on the Bible Bus. I'll save you a seat. Catch Through the Bible right here on this station.
Listen to The Mission WMCA anywhere you go with the AM 570 The Mission mobile app. Download on Google Play, iTunes, or listen to TuneIn, iHeart, Alexa, or radio.com.
Hi, Kevin McCullough. You know, you may have questions about what the government stimulus, how it affects small business, how it affects you and your family, how to maybe even pay those workers that had been working for you until the coronavirus hit and debilitated so much of our economy. Well, Jonathan Donenfeld is back with us, jldtax.com, for more information. And Jonathan, I want to know, since the government announced a week ago last Friday, how has the Paycheck Protection Act gone and what kind of help are people finding?
Sure. So it's an amazing program, Kevin, because you can get a loan based on wages paid and based on self-employment income. So even if you don't have payroll, you're just a sole proprietor or you're self-employed, you can get a loan that can be that you don't have to pay back based on your self-employment income.
Now, why do they still call it a loan if it's forgivable?
So, well, it's a loan. What you need to do is you need to use that money on payroll, rent, utilities, or paying yourself in some cases. And as long as you do that, then it's forgiven. So if you didn't do that, if you didn't use the money, then it becomes a two-year loan at 1%.
Gotcha. Well, in either case, it is a great benefit to people that are struggling right now. And friends, I want you to know I've personally recommended multiple small business owners already to call Jonathan and talk to his team. You can call them. They're here locally. They are ready to help New Jersey and New York people seeking assistance right now. And that number is 201-604-2432. It's not a complicated process, and they can help you starting right now. Get your Paycheck Protection Act loan that is forgivable when you call and get the process started with JLD Tax. That's 201-604-2432. Hi, Kevin McCullough. I've been telling you about what would happen in the event of a national financial downturn. And guess what? It's here. The markets have erased all of its profits since the last election. And in just a few weeks, you saw a bull market get wiped out completely. Are you prepared? Are you prepared to take even deeper losses on your paper investments? This is one of the reasons why I've been telling you, you need to get the information about the coming bail-in from David Fisher and Landmark Capital. You also need to be hedging some of the protection of your portfolio with things that won't go down every time the market gets a flutter. Paper always does, but gold won't. And that's why I'm buying my gold these days with Landmark Capital. Call them today and have them assess your portfolio. Figure out if you're protected, and if you're not, ask them how to get you on a plan to do just that. 844-604-2575. That's 844-604-2575. 844-604-2575. That's 844-604-2575.
When you need a lawyer you can trust, call the law offices of Dan Buttafuoco and Associates. Call 1-800-NOW-HURT. That's 1-800-NOW-HURT.
Breaking news as it happens. You're listening to Kevin McCullough Radio.
Number of New Yorkers, 4,758, which is up from 159, but which is effectively flat for 2 days. While none of this is good news, the flattening, possible flattening of the curve is better than the increases that we have seen.
That is earlier today, Governor Cuomo saying that the curve possibly being flattened, 2 days in essentially flat for New York State. And the city, of course, still struggling mightily with its challenge, although it looks like tomorrow the Javits Center will finally open for COVID exclusive treatment, and that's going to be 2,500 beds, and it appears that the president is working with the governor to also allow the 1,100 beds on the Comfort to be converted to COVID. That was not the original use of the Comfort as it came up. But anyway, having said all of that, the challenges that we faced here in the New York tri-state area continue to be huge. New Jersey and New York are the two most deadly states when it comes to COVID-19 deaths. And as now both have eclipsed well in advance 9/11 numbers, it's really starting to hit home, I think, as the rest of the country watches. Although there are another hotspots in Detroit and New Orleans and other places that are also struggling mightily with their own crises as well. One of the things we've tried to do here at Kevin McCullough Radio is let you hear from shepherds that are in this area that are dealing with this crisis on the ground. And Dave Watson is the senior pastor at Calvary Chapel of Staten Island, longtime friend of this show and of AM 570, The Mission, and FM 102.3. And Pastor Dave rejoins us. And Dave, you and I have been talking a lot offline. And by talking, I mean sometimes talking, sometimes texting. I don't think we've FaceTimed, but we've used almost every type of technology to communicate in recent days as is possible. And just tell us a little bit about what your people have dealt with on Staten Island in the face of the last 21 days.
Well, I'll illustrate it for you. I have a number of people who've had to go to the emergency room. A number of them are still there, but essentially the ambulance picks you up and you're told as the ambulance picks you up, you know, someone will call you. And then you're kind of at the mercy of someone calling you. And you may or may not get to speak to your loved one. If they have a cell phone on them and they have service in the hospital, you may talk to them. But that person is whisked off to the hospital and you get periodic updates. We have one gentleman, a great guy, and his wife. His wife right now is it's working well with reference to being on a ventilator, but he didn't get a call. She was on a ventilator. He kind of found out through the grapevine. He didn't get to say anything to her before she went on a ventilator. And that stuff like that is kind of repeated on a regular basis. When someone gets in that ambulance, you may not speak to them for quite a while. And yeah. It may be a little bit of time before you have any information. It's incredibly tough. And of course, clergy are not allowed in the hospitals, so we can't really be go-betweens or anything of that nature, which is kind of difficult.
It's kind of the opposite, as Ryan Batesel said in this spot last week. It's kind of the opposite of what you guys are wired for. You normally move towards people in pain, and I know that, Dave, even today you had to do your first virtual funeral.
It's crazy. You know, I a family for as long as I have. I've been here 30 years, so I know a lot of these families that long. But to have to do a funeral that way, because in New Jersey, the rules are incredibly strict. So if there's a funeral director and one member of the family, a funeral director, one member of the family. Other members of the family couldn't even sit in the car. And we're doing a Zoom funeral for someone that they love and I love and you know, have known for years. It's a very surreal experience, and I wouldn't wish it on anybody. I think our grief groups that going forward, we're gonna have to figure a way to help people without closure. You know, how to grieve without closure. That's gonna be the theme, because I don't know how you get closure with any of this.
Yeah. As a shepherd, how does that impact your ability to be prepared and to do what you need to do?
Well, you know, the thing I have to be is flexible, and I have to, you know, on a personal level, I need to make sure my walk with God is good. And I need to say, you know what, I'll deal with what I got to deal with later. You know, I'll sit down with the hospital and give them holy something later. And I'll sit down with the funeral home, and I'll sit down with the cemetery later. Right now, my responsibility is to take care of these people the best way I know how. That's the job. I love them. I don't want them to hurt. I want to walk them through this. I mean, we've established our prayer chain a lot stronger. So someone texts us or lets us know someone's sick, immediately that goes out as a prayer request. I'm not talking about 10 minutes. I mean, immediately. So we're trying to be on everybody and reach out to everybody. And we have our elders calling everybody just so that we know how everybody's doing, and we take care of everybody.
Staten Island has been kind of a unique scenario in the New York story. Is it better or worse than what the media is describing there?
It's pretty bad. I have people in the healthcare industry. I have nurses in the hospitals, and it's pretty bad.
Yeah.
They have the equipment they need, but they feel very uncomfortable because, you know, you're trying to be careful with all the equipment. And at the same time, you know, they didn't train to be pastors, but some of these people have to be pastors. They have to be the last person that person sees on earth.
Dave Watson, hold that thought. We're going to come right back from this break. We continue to speak with pastors from across the area. Friends, we are doing all that we can to try to encourage you because that's what we feel like we should be at this time. Kevin McCullough, and if you want to look for some good news on the facts and figures, go to my Twitter feed, at KMC Radio. We're dedicating it to telling you the good news as best we can. Stay with us. Great news! In partnership with Salem Media Group, the free speech documentary No Safe Spaces gets special limited digital release. No Safe Spaces stars Dennis Prager and Adam Carolla and reveals how America has become a dangerous place to speak your mind and to share ideas. They do it in an entertaining and powerful way. No Safe Spaces released October 25th of last year. It reached 1.3 million at the box office and has a 99% approval rating on RottenTomatoes.com, the highest rating for any film last year. Critics have called No Safe Spaces smart, vital, urgent, and one of the most important documentaries that you need to see today. Hollywood doesn't want you to see this movie. After being passed over for distribution by major studios as well as streaming services like Netflix, the film has decided to offer the film on a limited release, then on DVD and digital this summer. Make good use of this time at home and watch No Safe Spaces. Share it with your family. No Safe Spaces is now available to watch for a limited time only at nosafespaces.com.
Your potential customers are at home right now. Are you there with them? In these uncertain times, the investment you made in digital marketing is really paying off. Thanks to Salem Surround, you're on page one of the search engines. Your online reputation is 5-star. Your digital presence is accurate, and you're everywhere. Oh, wait, you're not? You don't have an effective digital marketing strategy? It's not too late. Contact Salem Surround for help. We deliver prescriptive marketing solutions to communicate with your current and future customers that not only meet your needs, but exceed your expectations. Salem Surround can help you with digital marketing during these difficult times and beyond. Total market saturation with increased return on investment. Contact Salem Surround for a free evaluation of your digital presence and to learn how we can help place your advertising message in front of today's consumers. Learn more at surroundnewyork.com. SurroundNewYork.com, connecting you with new customers.
If you're in HR, you're probably wearing a lot of hats. Recruiter, team builder, trainer, mediator, policymaker, and of course, paper pusher. But not anymore. Bamboo HR is the number one HR software for small and medium businesses. It manages all your employee data easily and automates countless tasks so you can focus on people, not paperwork. Bamboo HR frees you from spreadsheets so you can do your real job, creating a great place to work. If the data shuffle and paperwork mountain have you ready to hang up all your hats, you're ready for Bamboo. If you handle HR records and paperwork, Bamboo HR is a dream. Let us free up your time and put your days of pushing paperwork behind you so you can focus on the people and making your company a great place to work for everyone. Try PC Magazine's top pick for HR software free today. Just go to bamboohr.com/HR. This is a limited offer, only available to radio listeners at bamboohr.com/HR. That's bamboohr.com/HR.
Kevin Cottrell, Coffee with Kevin in the studio with Dan Buttafuoco and WMCA and Dan Buttafuoco and Associates. We've shared a wonderful partnership for 30 years since the radio station began. Through that, we've been able to communicate to our listeners what you guys do. And I'd like you to just share some of the success stories, but also the great ministry partnership things that your firm has done for people.
Well, we're actually friends at this point, Kevin, right?
Amen. Yes.
You know, we've seen each other at various ministry events, and our goal together has always been to advance the kingdom of God. At Buttafuoco and Associates, we do the same thing. We try to advance the kingdom of God through legal representation. We have a staff of 26 people and we operate in 20 states. And our goal is to make sure that people recover from serious accidents and injuries and to rebuild their lives. That's what we try to do to the best of our God-giving ability.
And Dan, we appreciate the partnership with WMCA all of these years. To contact Buttafuoco and Associates, it's 1-800-NOW-HURT. That's 1-800-NOW-HURT.
You're listening to Kevin McCullough Radio, coming to you live from the Connors and Sullivan Broadcast Studio. Obliterating confusion, amplifying truth, and pursuing clarity. It's Kevin McCullough Radio.
I'm not sure exactly why it was, but I remember around the time of Y2K, which was a joke compared to what we endured after Y2K. And I remember the people in the Christian circles quoting the verse from Chronicles over and over again. You know, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and seek my face and repent of their sin, that I will hear from heaven, I will forgive their sin, and I will heal their land. And again, after 9/11, it seemed as though there was some use of that verse on a regular basis. You know, it struck me over the weekend as we return with Dave Watson from Calvary Chapel. You mentioned your prayer chain. I have not heard anyone talk about that verse in this 21 days of crisis. And Dave, we're approaching seismic levels of disruption in terms of American life and business and people's employment and what they're able to even return to if and when it ever becomes safe to do so. And I actually put up on social media yesterday, I said, hey, just remind me, folks, what was the formula in that verse? And I was a little bit shocked at what I got back. I got some kind of prickly people that were saying, well, you know, that's Old Testament and it's talking about the children of Israel. And, you know, you're being theologically loose by bringing it into this scenario. And, you know, there's just too much reformed people, reformed stuff in me, Dave. I think that covenants are covenants. And I think that when God makes a promise, he does. But as I talk with you and other pastors, I am sensing that we are in the midst of God wanting to do something, and the question is, will he? And I think on some level that depends on we, the church, doing what we need to do. What's your reaction to everything I just laid out there?
Well, as I shared yesterday at church, you know, when Jesus marched into Jerusalem, he was ultimately rejected because they liked the idea of being saved from the Romans, but they didn't like how God wanted to solve the problem, that is, with Jesus. And I think, really, I think God, you're right, God wants to do something, but we must be willing, to take his solution. We must be willing to go with his program. I mean, as I shared again yesterday in church, you know, we need to pray. We need to humble ourselves before God and say, God, be merciful to us. We are sinners. Yeah. Be merciful to us. We don't deserve your mercy. In some ways, I think of the king of Nineveh, who, when he heard how bad things were going to be from Jonah, he ripped his clothes and was in sackcloth and ashes. And, you know, I wonder what it would take to get our leaders to pray like that, to admit that, you know, we're not who we ought to be, and humble themselves and say, God, be merciful to us. And I think that might be the first step in a spiritual awakening in the church and in the spiritual awakening of our leaders, is that we admit that we are helpless. I just heard the governor say, you know, there's not a whole lot we can do about this. Okay, governor, do you know anybody who can? Yeah, God. Let's humble ourselves before him. Let's ask for his mercy. I'm asking our folks right now to pray like mad, to stand in the gap between, you know, literally thousands of people dying. To pray and ask that, as in the case in Chronicles, with David, you know, praying and giving an offering, and the Lord commanded the angel, and the angel put his sword back in the sheath. Just stand in the gap between people's being taken and God, and beg for God's mercy. Pray for God's grace. Pray for God's help. A specific prayer. We're asking God to get us to the top of this and moving forward, moving closer to a resolution before Good Friday, and trusting him to do that. I mean, is it wrong to pray that specifically? Hmm. Is it wrong to ask for not just people who come to Christ, and not just the people who are sick to be healed, but God, you know, give us a cure, even more than give us a cure. Please stop, Uncle. We admit we need you. We admit we're helpless without you. That's kind of how I think about it.
That is exactly what has been rolling through my head. And it wasn't that I had many questions about what I was asking. I more or less just wanted to get people to remember that God is a covenant-keeping and a promise-keeping God, and that when his people do humble themselves and lean and direct their complete dependency upon him, we can't always understand his answer, but he always answers. And it's one of those things where I feel like we're at that critical moment right now. So I would encourage everyone that's part of the Kevin McCullough audience to take that same admonition from Pastor Dave Watson, and to join them in praying for those who are sick, for our leadership, for the hearts of Americans, that we would turn to God. Pastor Dave, thank you for spending time with us today. I know you're busy, and you're trying to do all that God has called you to. Be safe, be well, and may God be merciful on us.
Amen, Kevin. Hosanna, save us. Save us now. God bless you, my friend.
Thank you. Kevin McCullough, coming right back. It's the number one question I get. Kev, we hear what's going on with the virus. What do we do to protect ourselves? Friends, I try to make the show about helping you be protected on a variety of fronts, whether it's physical or mental or spiritual, financial or health-wise. And that's why my answer to everyone who says, what's the best thing I can do to boost my immune system to prevent myself from maybe ever getting the coronavirus? Well, you boost that immune system by giving your body what it needs. What my body needs is Balance of Nature, a daily dose of 10 servings of 31 different fruits and vegetables that do everything within their power to keep me healthy, whole, and disease fighting. Friends, you've got to try this for yourself. You owe it to yourself. You want to be well defended against the things we're up against right now. 800-246-8751. Get 35% off and free shipping when you call today. 800-246-8751. 800-246-8751. Or going to balanceofnature.com and use the promo code THEMISSION.
Maybe you can relate to this. A lot of people think they're stuck with their health plan. It costs too much, or for whatever reason, they just don't like it. But great news, you are not stuck with it. There is a choice. It's called MediShare, and you could save so much. The typical savings for a family is $500 a month. Major difference maker. This is the affordable alternative to health insurance. And just to give you a little more info about MediShare, it's a Christian healthcare sharing ministry. It's worked beautifully for 26 years, has more than 400,000 members, and they've shared over $3 billion of each other's medical bills. So yes, they can help share your needs too. So you're not stuck. There's an excellent alternative. Whether you're single or married, you got a family, MediShare is super flexible. You can choose an option that works for you and start saving lots of money. You can join anytime. They're great to talk to. No pressure. Call 844-45-BIBLE. That's 844-45-BIBLE. 844-45-BIBLE.
Download the AM 570 The Mission mobile app on iTunes, Google Play, or listen on WMCA.com, TuneIn, iHeart, Alexa, or Radio.com.
Great news! In partnership with Salem Media Group, the free speech documentary No Safe Spaces gets special limited digital release. No Safe Spaces stars Dennis Prager and Adam Carolla and reveals how America has become a dangerous place to speak your mind and to share ideas. They do it in an entertaining and powerful way. No Safe Spaces released October 25th of last year. It reached 1.3 million at the box office and has a 99% approval rating on RottenTomatoes.com, the highest rating for any film last year. Critics have called No Safe Spaces smart, vital, urgent, and one of the most important documentaries that you need to see today. Hollywood doesn't want you to see this movie. After being passed over for distribution by major studios as well as streaming services like Netflix, the film has decided to offer the film on a limited release, then on DVD and digital this summer. Make good use of this time at home and watch No Safe Spaces. Share it with your family. No Safe Spaces is now available to watch for a limited time only at nosafespaces.com.
This is David Davenport of the Hoover Institution for Townhall.com. Some say authoritarian governments are better able to manage a crisis like coronavirus than a democracy, but I say not so fast. The founders wisely provided for emergency powers when needed, and both the president and governors have used these. We have institutions like the Federal Reserve able to take quick action when needed. But beyond that, our democracy depends on the virtue of the people. Benjamin Franklin stated what the founders understood when he said, "Only a virtuous people are capable of freedom." The jury is still out on whether people get this. We still have far too many people, especially young people, out and about, ignoring social distancing. People are still hoarding sanitizer, masks, and toilet paper. Yes, we need everything medical science can bring to the table, but more than that, we need the American people to step up their sense of civic virtue. I'm David Davenport.
Considering a career in politics? Consider Pepperdine's Graduate School of Public Policy. Learn more at publicpolicy.pepperdine.edu.
You're listening to Kevin McCullough Radio, coming to you live from the Connors and Sullivan Broadcast Studio.
Everywhere I go, oh, oh, I say is it oh, oh, always on my road, oh, oh, and I'm still New York.
If it's happening in New York or across the globe, learn why it matters first on Kevin McCullough Radio.
Well, as I've been saying throughout the broadcast, you know, there's different areas of what we're dealing with as a nation that we've been covering on the show. And as we started out today, I was able to break down some of those numbers. Those are little glimmers of good news. We're not anywhere near getting out of the real tough part here. But I just feel like we've got to keep at least letting you know when there seems to be good news on the horizon. And I know that my next guest feels the same way. It's one of the reasons why he is so obsessed with helping you make sure that you withstand this onslaught from the strongest position in your portfolio possible. David Fisher is his name. He is the CEO of Landmark Capital, and he rejoins us on our Money Monday. David, we are now starting our fourth week in the coronavirus shelter at home, all out, flatten the curve efforts. Where are we at market-wise? Year-to-date, what's happened? You see like little bubbles up and then more down and so forth. Where do we really stand right now?
Well, the market is disconnecting from the environment. So the market shows gold is up 10.5% leading the charge, but stocks are down. Dow's down 17.5, S&P 14.25. The dollar is up 4.5%. So gold should not be up in this environment. It should be down in relationship to the dollar. But the market that's getting hit the worst is oil. which is going to affect have effect on the dollar, obviously. But there's some decoupling going on. So we're kind of in a weird environment from a standpoint. The economy is decoupling from the market, which there have always been two different things, but sometimes they've mirrored themselves. So, you know, I said that last week that unemployment would come out at between 4.2 to 4.7%. It came out at 4.4%. So we have a, and previously it was 3.5%. So unemployment is on the rise. We're not out of the woods at all. In fact, things are probably going to get worse economically speaking. Market-wise, the market is not adjusting to those economics.
Just yet. It's it's a lagging indicator is what you're saying. Let's talk about the R word and the D word. And a lot of people think Republican or Democrat. No. This is what I've been hearing in financial circles. Will it be a recession or will it be a depression? And again, we're not trying to doomsday anybody, but what's the honest assessment of how badly interrupted the economy has incurred a disruption of?
Well, if you look at what the Google search activities, most people are searching the word depression rather than the recession. So I think it's already been factored in that most people have come to accept by Google search results that we're going to have a recession. If not, we're already in it. But technically, we're not there yet. We're just fundamentally going to be there. Depression, that's a when you look at the unemployment numbers from the what the Fed projected, like I said last week, they're saying 30 to 32%, the Fed, St. Louis Fed, that's depression because it was 24.9%. So we haven't got there yet. Jamie Dimon just came out from his hospital stay and gave the first annual report, and he's warning of a bad recession, repeating of a 2008 crisis in his annual letter. So here's some very well-respected, very conservative person saying it's definitely a recession and a deep one, but the depression word is kind of on the side. But there's other economists coming out, like from KPMG, one of the fourth leading accounting firms. Constance Hunter said on the news today, it's way worse than the Great Depression. That's her quote. She said that it's much faster than the depression, and we have more social interaction now than the depression. But she says our debt levels proportionately are much higher now. And, you know, in reference to that, trying to get money in the system, millions of applicants have gone to the SBA, the Small Business Loan Association, for $38 billion of applicants. 177 applications have been submitted, but only 100 loans have been distributed. So there's a claw going on. And if we don't get money in the system soon, that will cause more of the D word, depression, rather than the recession.
Yeah, well, and that's something that people are concerned about. So if that is in fact the case, David, we've been talking for the last 3 years about what a bail-in looks like. Is this recession, or even if it becomes a depression, is this the circumstance by which the government might pull the trigger and say, we've got to do the bail-in?
Well, that's my number one concern now, and more than ever in my 26 years of doing this. And certainly we've been talking about the bail-in since it came into place about 7 years ago, and legally about 10 years ago it was initiated through the Dodd-Frank Act. So I'm more concerned now than ever, and here's why. And I know we're going to talk on Wednesday on your program in depth, and I want to go in depth on this. So make sure if you're hearing my voice today, check Kevin Cullough's program out on Wednesday. I'm going to address this in detail. But let me just kind of let the cat out of the bag a little bit. So think with me. We're spending like crazy, and budget deficit is going to go from $1 trillion to probably $2 trillion now with all the $2 trillion that we just passed in stimulus. I mean, that's maybe it'll be $3 trillion. Who knows? I'm being conservative here. So, and oil has collapsed, and the dollar is, we get revenue from oil being sold internationally because it's based in dollars. But the world and central banks are moving away from, and have been moving away from, wanting to use the dollar. in oil contracts. So we're seeing more and more of this. And now this new idea has come to the forefront. Jim Cramer and Larry Kudlow talked about this a little bit, war bonds. So the question is, why are we talking about issuing a war bond? If could it be there's not enough world buying the treasury bill, and there's not enough Americans that can buy treasuries to support the debt structure that's ballooning? That's why the next triggering point in the very near future or at any time could be this bail-in, because it clearly demonstrates, Kevin, that we do not have enough financial debt being bought, and we have to shore that out with some other plan. The plan is war bonds, but they didn't accept a 50-year, 100-year treasury bill, and a war bond might not be much different. So that's where the bail-in could get triggered.
Well, and here's the things, friend. If the bail-in does go, if you've got electronic accounts, they're all vulnerable. The Uncle Sam can just reach in, grab it, put an IOU in its place, and say, sorry about that. If you want to find out how to protect yourself from the bail-in, 844-604-2575. And again, be listening for David and I on Wednesday. David, thanks for being here.
Absolutely. Thank you, Kevin.
Kevin McCullough Radio, my final thought next. Hi, Kevin McCullough. You got a wedding or an engagement or some sort of party, and you're having trouble finding the picture-perfect venue? It can be overwhelming. I get it. But I wonder if you've ever thought of having the backdrop of Manhattan as the picture-perfect venue, if you will. It's what you can get on a luxury private yacht. Your guests, they're going to be blown away. Memories are going to last a lifetime. They'll Instagram it and everything else the whole time that it's happening. And that's why I want you to meet Francesca. She's going to find the yacht that's best for you. She's got a beautiful fleet of vessels that can accommodate from 2 people to 1,000, and guests can board at convenient locations throughout the metro area. Private yacht, not what your budget calls for? Then how about just chartering one deck? They've got that option as well. Fran's yachts are fully insured and Coast Guard certified. Go on franstouchofclass.com right now to see the range of yachts in her fleet, and then give her a call and discuss your options. You won't know if it's affordable or not until you talk to her. Fran will fill you in on the yachts, describe the cuisine. Talk to her today about adding an extra touch of class to your event. It's franstouchofclass.com, franstouchofclass.com, 212-385-9400. That's 212-385-9400. Hi, Kevin McCullough. If you could save money on your mortgage payment and put more money into your pocket, wouldn't that make sense? Now is the perfect time to call my very good friends, Mike and Brian, at Fellowship Home Loans. Home values are up. The housing market is strong. Interest rates are low, and they're going to stay low. Talk to Mike and Brian about ways you could possibly eliminate PMI, private mortgage insurance, consolidate debt, take cash out for home improvements, and save on your taxes. As a direct lender, you deal directly with the decision makers who will save you the money and guide you every step of the way. And with outstanding customer service reviews and an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau, you will be amazed by how well you are treated and how simple they make this very complicated process. Call Mike Rakeman and Brian Sheely at Fellowship Home Loans and lock in your low rate today. 800-804-SAVE. That's 800-804-SAVE. Intercontinental Capital Group, DBA, Fellowship Home Loans, Licensed Mortgage Banker, Equal Housing Lender, NMLS 60134.
For a free evaluation of your case, call the law offices of Dan Buttafuoco and Associates. Call 1-800-NOW-HURT. 1-800-NOW-HURT.
What you need to know when you need it. It's Kevin McCullough Radio.
To weigh in on this issue of hydroxychloroquine, what do you think about this, and what is the medical evidence?
That question.
Yeah.
Well, maybe 15,
the doctor.
15 times. You don't have to ask.
He's your medical expert, correct?
He's answered that question 15 times.
I don't know what it is about the press and their insistence that they make President Trump look ridiculous when it comes to hydroxychloroquine. That is obviously one of the goals that some in the press corps in the White House have set up for themselves, but they're about to be made to look very foolish. Friends, we started out the show talking to you about some of the good news today, that we've got declining hospitalizations. We had declining deaths, declining new infections, all in the last 24 hours, and the new hospitalizations by 50%. By tomorrow, we may have 3,500 more beds in lower Manhattan, to help ease the, as Governor Cuomo called, the relief valve of Lower Manhattan. Here's the thing, and this is really rather remarkable. Governors that had banned hydroxychloroquine and the Zithromax or the azithromycin combination cocktail have done a complete reverse face on it. The former governor of Michigan, who very foolishly came out and said she thought she was just going to get the president's goat, and said, "Oh, we're gonna find doctors that misprescribe it and so forth." Let me bring you up to date, because this is what everybody asks me about nonstop. What's the latest on the New York clinical trials? So they're doing placebo with half the patients, and they're doing the clinical trials. As many as 4,000 seriously ill coronavirus patients in New York are now being treated with hydroxychloroquine. Andrew Cuomo said healthcare providers in the state would be using that in combination with the azithromycin cocktail. The Albany University Public Health Dean David Holtgrave says time is of the essence, and they have distributed 4,000 dosages, in essence, to 56 hospitals statewide. Patients are involved in a 4 or 10 day regimen. The trials are being done in weeks instead of months, trying to get this fast tracked as quickly as possible. NYU Langone Medical School is conducting a random trial with a $9.5 million grant from the Gates Foundation. So yay, Bill and Melinda, thank you for that. But there's some really promising stuff taking place. And New York is going to be, as we always are, the ground zero, not only of what's going on bad, but hopefully as these numbers come in on the clinical trials and replicate the other trials that have been done, tests that have been done, studies that have been done. I'm Kevin McCullough. More good news tomorrow. Don't miss it.